It's November 20th, and we are in Treasar and Micha, Perek Gimel, Chapter 3. Va'omar, and I said, Shimuna Rashe Yaakov Ukitsine Beis Yisrael. Listen now, the heads of Yaakov and the leaders of Beis Yisrael. Halo lachem ladas es hamishpat. You need to know the judgment. Sone tov va'ohave ra. Those who hate good and love evil. Goes le oram me'alehem, they steal the skin from upon them, meaning they steal everything from the poor, including the skin off their bodies. Usheiram me'alatz mosam, and their flesh from upon their bones. Obviously, this is a metaphor that they take everything; they leave nothing for the poor. Vasher achlu she'er ami. And that which they ate the flesh of my nation, va'oram me'alehem hivshitu, and their skin from upon them, they skin them, v'zatzmosehem pitzechu, and their bones they broke open, ufarsu kasher basir, and they separated it like in a pot, meaning that just as flesh separates from a bone in a pot. Uchavasar besoch kalachas, and like flesh, another word for a pot. So these are all how evil they are, that they steal everything, and as a result of this, of the fact that they're so cruel, and they take everything that the poor have, for that. Pasuk Dalet, Az Yizakuel Hashem V'lo Yaneh Osam. They will call out to Hashem, and Hashem will not answer them. V'yaster Panav Mehem Boi Sahi, and He will hide His face from them in that time. Kasher Heireu Ma'al Aleihem, like there He did with their evil deeds. So, this is referring specifically to people who are involved in theft and how they take advantage of the poor. There is a reference here, that Rashi makes based on these psukim in the Tochacha in Parshas Bechukosai. In Parshas Bechukosai, in the pasuk of it's in Perek Chavav, chapter 26, and it is pasuk. Pasuk Yud Zayin, verse 17. So this is part of the Tochacha, so it's not pleasant. The Pasuk says, "Minasati fanai bachem, I will pay attention to you," in a bad way. "Vini gaftem lifnei oyvechem, you will be struck down in front of your enemies. V'radu vachem soneichem, and those who hate you will rule over you. V'nastem, you will run ve'ino defeschem, without anybody even chasing you. You'll be so scared that you'll run." Now, in the words, "V'radu v'chem soneichem," those who hate you will control you, Rashi brings, "She'eni mamid sonim ela mikem uvachem." The enemies that bring against you will be from within you, meaning they will be your fellow Jews who will be your enemies. Why is that worse, other than, of course, how sad it is, but why is that a worse hatred than the hatred of the Goyim? Shebishah she'umo sa'olam omdim al Yisrael, because when the nations of the world stand against the Jews, einam mevakshim ela masha begalui. When they steal things, they take money, they only take that which is in the open. Shenemar, and he brings a pasuk, that Midian and Amalek will take the grain and the food that they find. Avo bishah she'em mid aleichem mikem uvachem, but when I bring it against you, those who are from your own, your fellow Jews, heim mechapsim achar hamatmonios shelachem, they will seek after even the hidden things that you have. V'chein hu omer, as the pasuk says in Micha, v'asher achlu she'er ami va'oram me'alehem hivshitu, as they eat the flesh of my nation and the skin from upon them they remove. It's a metaphor of how thorough the thieves are to take everything. And Rashi says that it is worse when it is coming from our own. When it's our own people that are against us, a Jew who's a self-hater, one who hates his own self and his own people, it is much worse than anti-Semitism coming from non-Jews. And although, of course, we have suffered incredibly in the hands of non-Jews, we have suffered more in the hands of our fellow Jews. And that is a story throughout the ages where Jews who have joined with our enemies have been far more cruel to us than the enemies themselves. That's referenced over here in how thorough they are in taking and finding things to take from the money. There is a reference that is interesting, although it is not directly related to what we're talking about. But since many in this room may already be aware of this reference, I want to just mention it to you. The Gemara Maseches Brachos discusses dreams. There's a whole section on dreams in Maseches Brachos. And it goes through various things a person could see in a dream, some of them positive and some of them negative. And it discusses a lot of different things. So one of the things the Gemara says is that there are three symbols that one could see in a dream that are symbols of shalom, of peace. And the Gemara says they are a river, a pot, and a bird. Or a kettle and a bird. That's where that book comes from. That's where it comes from. That the Rosh Yeshiva of Neri Yisrael, Avraham Feldman, wrote that. It's an English book, but it's a Sefer Nagarata and on Shalom Bayis. And he, the title of his book, The River, the Kettle, and the Bird, comes from that Gemara. Because he's talking about Shalom Bayis, and those are three symbols that one could see in a dream that symbolize peace. A river, a kettle or a pot, and a bird. So, or as we used to say, chicken soup. The Gemara there says that pot that one sees in a dream is only a symbol of peace if there's no meat in the pot. But if there's meat in the pot, that is in fact not a good sign. And the Gemara cites this pasuk, Pasuk Gimel, verse 3, where it says, and like meat in a pot, which is being used as an analogy for how thorough the thieves are, that's not the positive sign. The positive sign is a pot, but not with meat in it. So again, it's not directly related to what we're saying, but since I figured everybody was, or many were familiar with that sefer, I wanted to mention to you that point. Pasuk Hey, verse 5. Kamar Hashem al anavim hamasim esami. So now we're moving away from thieves and moving into false prophets. So says Hashem on the prophets who lead my nation astray. Hanoshchim bishinehem, that they bite with their teeth. Vikaru shalom, and they call out in peace. The simple meaning of they bite with their teeth means they are in it for the money. They're in it for the prestige where they can make money and make a parnasa out of their false prophecy. And they call peace. Vasher lo yitein al pihem, but it's something which was not put on their mouths, which means it's a false prophecy. Vikidju alav milchama, and really they are setting us up for war because there really isn't peace. It's false prophecy. And by giving the people false hope, they only bring upon the people war. It's not a good thing. So that's a negative. It's about the false prophets. Lachain, therefore, laila lachem mechazon. There will be night for you from your vision. Meaning it'll be darkness. V'chashcha lachem mikisom. It'll be darkness for you from sorcery. Those abilities will be taken away from you. Uva Hashem Eshal Anavim, the sun will set on the prophets, meaning the false prophets, the Kadar Alehem Hayom, and the day will end?
Will be darkened.
Okay. Uvoshu Hachozim, and those who see visions will be shamed. The Chafur HaKosmim, the sorcerers, will also be shamed. Va'atu Al Safam Kulam, and they all will have to put they'll have to put something over their mouths, which means to cover their mouths. They won't be able to talk. Ki ein ma'ane Elokim, because they will not have any word from Hashem. They will be cut off from anything positive from Hashem. The Medrash says that they sin with their teeth. That's in Pasuk Hey, verse 5, Hanoshchem Abishinehem. They sin with their teeth. So, and as a result of that, says the Medrash, they will also be punished with their teeth. The Pasuk says in Eicha, in Perek Gimel, the third chapter, Pasuk Tez Zayin, in the 16th verse, it says, Vayagres Bechatzatz Shinam?
Shinai, I think.
What?
Shinai?
No. No, it's theirs. I'll read it to you. But their teeth will be ground in chatzatz. So what is chatzatz? Let me read you the pasuk first, and I'll tell you what chatzatz is. So, Rashi says, I'm looking for the pasuk, I'll tell you what it is. Rashi says that, when they went into Golus, so Yirmiyahu told them, make for yourselves little, small utensils for food. Oh, you were right. I'm sorry. I was wrong. You are correct. Thank you very much. Ooh, very good.
Yes.
I was wrong. Via grace, I shouldn't doubt you. Via grace, bechatzatz shinai. You're right. My teeth. Right. We're crushed with chatzatz. They translate that here as on gravel. He ground my teeth on gravel. So Rashi here says in Eicha that Yirmiyahu warned them they're going to go into Galus and they should make for themselves a small utensil. A small little utensil, earthenware utensil to take with them. Because people who are taken into Galus, they don't have the most basic things that they need. So they didn't listen to Yirmiyahu. And when they were then being dragged to Bavel, they had no way of preparing food because they had no utensils. So even if they were given any kind of flour or any kind of grain or whatever it was, in order to bake anything, they couldn't prepare it. They didn't have any 9x13 pans. I didn't have anything. He had warned them, make for yourself a small little earthenware utensil you could take with you wherever you go. They didn't do that. So what they were forced to do was, in order to get themselves a receptacle to hold the flour and water to make it into dough, is they needed to dig a small hole in the ground and use that as a method of making their dough. The problem is that pieces of gravel got into the dough. And when they baked the bread and then they bit into it, it would grind their teeth. And that was a punishment for this statement here of Hanoshchem Bishinehem. They bite with their teeth, that the teeth would be ground. But the Medrash concludes, just as they sinned with their teeth and they're punished with their teeth, they also are eventually consoled with their teeth. As the Pasuk says in Parshas Vayechi, in the bracha that Yaakov gives to Yehuda, so the Pasuk there says, Uleven Shinayim Mechalav, that one of the brachos of the portion of Yehuda in Eretz Yisrael is that they will have white teeth, Uleven Shinayim, and white teeth Mechalav, from an abundance of milk, that there'll be a lot of milk, which will give them strong and white teeth. So that is as we do tshuva for the Avera, then the Nechama, then the consolation comes in the same form that the sin and the punishment came, the consolation comes in the same form, which is a reference to the teeth.
Were these all the people of Yehuda, though, that were?
Not necessarily. That's what the Medrash brings and strings those psukim together. We're going to see another similar thing soon. Pasuk Ches, verse 8. V'ulam. However, Anochi Malesi Choach Esruach Hashem, and I was filled with strength with the spirit of Hashem, Umishpat Ugvura, and justice and strength, Lahagid Liyakov Pisho, to tell to Yaakov his sins, Uli Yisrael Chataso, and to the Jews their sins. Two different references to two different types of sins, a Pesha and a Chet, and Yaakov and Yisrael, two different names for us. and it says Lehagid, as we know that in the various words that mean to speak or to tell or to articulate, Lehagid comes from the word Haggadah. Haggadah always implies a story, or more accurately, a description, or very descriptive, not just a short reference, and not just some bullet style statements, but rather in depth and in detail, and that is what Micha is doing in describing all of the averos. Pasuk 10, verse 9. Shimunazos Rashe Beis Yaakov. Listen to this now, the heads of Beis Yaakov, Ukitsine Beis Yisrael, the leaders of Beis Yisrael. Hamisavim Mishpat, those who pervert justice. Ve'es kol hayashara ye'akeshu, and all that is straight, they make crooked. So now we move into the judges, and the judges judging falsely and corrupting justice. So with that, we get Bonet Sion Bidamim, building Sion with blood, the Yushalayim Be'avla, and Yushalayim with iniquity. Rasheha Bishochad Yishpotu, her heads judge with bribes. V'chohaneha Bimchir Yoru, and her Kohanim, they rule, meaning they rule in Halacha, Bimchir, for payment. They're paid off. Unevieha bechesef yiksomu, and her neviim, they divine for money. But nevertheless, with all of that, val Hashem yishoenu leimor, and on Hashem they rely, saying, halo Hashem bekirbeinu. Hashem is in our midst. Lo savonu ra'a, no evil will come upon us. So even though they're doing all these things wrong, since they are in a time of geula, they are lulled into believing that they are protected, that Hashem will take care of them, and Hashem is with them no matter what. Says the pasuk, that is not so. Lachin, therefore, biglalchem, because of you, Tzion sada secharesh, Tzion will be plowed over like a field. V'Yushalayim iyin tiyeh, Yushalayim will be a place of destruction, of desolation. V'harabayis levamos yar, and the Temple Mount will be as a forest. It'll be an empty forest. Now, here we have another one of those stringing the psukim together. The Medrash says they sinned with their heads, as it says, Rasheha b'shochad yishpotu, their heads will judge with bribes. So the pasuk says in Yeshaya, this is the Haftorah of Shabbos Chazon, right before Tisha B'Av. So there the pasuk says, let's see if I can find it quickly. I can't remember the pasuk, that's why I have to look it up. I remembered it when I was doing it, and I can't remember offhand the pasuk. But it says, I should ask what the pasuk is. let me see if I can find it. It's a pasuk here about how they are then punished just as they sinned. Oh, yeah. Korosh lachali. Lachole vavdavai. All heads are with sickness. That's a punishment for sinning with their heads. Where is the consolation with their heads? We had it already in the last pasuk, of Perek Beis, we had Vayavar Malkam Lifneihem, their king will pass before them, Vahashem Birosham, and Hashem is at their head. So just as we sinned with our heads, punishment comes with our heads. The consolation when we do tshuva is also with the head of the people, the heads. Here we have two very important Gemaras that are relevant to these last few psukim. The Gemara says in Maseches Shabbos on Daf Kuf Lamed Tes, that's 139a, the pasuk tells us this, the Gemara tells us as follows. Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, Rabbi Yossi ben Elisha, Omer Rabbi Yossi ben Elisha says, Im ra'isa dor, if you see a generation, shetzaros rabos baos alav, then many tzaros are coming upon it, say, uvidok bedayane Yisrael, go and investigate the judges of the Jews. Shakol puranios sheba la'olam, because all calamity that comes to the world, lo ba ela bishvil dayane Yisrael, it only comes because of the judges, the corrupt judges of the Jews. Now this doesn't mean that every single time there's calamity it's because of the judges, but it means that a disproportionate amount of them come because of the judges. That's a default. That's your first place to look for trouble. Shenemar, as the pasuk says in Micha, we just read it. Shimu nazos rashe beis Yaakov uketzine beis Yisrael. Listen now to this. The heads of the Jews, hamisavim mishpat, they pervert justice. Veskola yeshara yakeshu, and all that is straight, they make crooked. Bonet Sion bedamim, they build Sion with blood. Virushalayim be'avla, and Yerushalayim with iniquity. What are the three things they do? Rasheha b'shochad yishpotu. Their heads judge for bribes. The kohaneha b'mchir yoru. And it's kohanim, they rule in halacha for pay. Unevieha b'kesef yiksomu, and it's neviim, they divine for money. And with all of that, Val Hashem Yishainu, they rely on Hashem, and they say that nothing bad will come because Hashem is with us. The Gemara says, Rishayim Haim, they are evil. Elishatolu bitchonam b'mi shamar v'haya ha'olam. But they rely on the one who said, and the world came into being, meaning Hashem. So because of this, Lefikach, therefore, Mevi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Alein Gimel Puranios. Hashem brings upon them three calamities, Kineged Gimel Averos Shebiyadam, corresponding to the three Averos that are in their hands. Because the judges take bribes, the Kohanim are paid off, and the Nevi'im are paid off, therefore, there are three calamities. Shenemar, as the end of this perek says, Lachen biglachem Sion sadeh secharesh. Therefore, because of you, number one, Sion will be plowed like a field. V'Yushalayim iyin tiyen, Yushalayim will be desolate. V'har habayis levamos yar, and har habayis will be like a forest. It'll be destroyed. So this is three punishments corresponding to the three averos they did. And the Gemara goes on to say, Vein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mashra Shechinaso Al Yisrael, and Hashem will not put His Shechina, His Divine Presence on the Jewish people, Ad Sheikalu Shoftim V'Shotrim Roim Yisrael, until the evil Shoftim, judges, and Shotrim, and the enforcers, the evil ones, will be removed from the Jewish people, will be end from the Jewish people. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, V'ashiva yadi alayich, I will pass my hand over you, V'etzrof kabor sigayich, and I will purify you, I'll purify you from your impurities, V'asira kol bedilayich, and I'll remove all of those who are the impure among you. And then the pasuk says, "V'ashiva shofetayich kevarishana, v'yotzayich kevatchila, and I will return your judges like in the beginning, and your advisors also like the beginning, and everything will be good." Now this is the end of the haftorah of Chazon, the same haftorah that has the terrible things at the end has this prediction as well. And Hashem says that in the end, Mashiach will come, and when I pass my hand over you and I remove all of the impurities, then it will be called on you the city of righteousness, Kirya Ne'emana, the city that is reliable. So, this pasuk should sound familiar. V'ashiva shoftayich kevarishana v'yotzayich kevatchila. The bracha in Shmoneh Esrei of Hashiva shofteinu is paraphrased from this pasuk. The Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, the men of the Great Assembly, when they made that bracha, they took it from this pasuk. So when we say that pasuk of Hashiva shofteinu kevarishana v'yotzayich kevatchila, v'hasir m'vini yogon v'anacha, so we say to Hashem, return our judges like they're supposed to be, and then remove from us all pains and all groaning, right? That bracha is a reference to this pasuk, and it is talking about that in the future when Mashiach comes or before Mashiach comes, this is going to take place, which will remove all of the calamities. The Gemara in Maseches Megillah, when explaining the order of the brachos of Shmoneh Esrei, so there the Gemara explains why each bracha follows each one. So we know we have the prasuk of Geula, of Goel Yisrael, and we have Refaenu, we have Baruch Aleinu, and then we have Kibbutz Golios. We have Mekabetz Ninchei Amo Yisrael, gathering the exiles. Then we have Ashiva Shoftenu, this pasuk, this bracha, because this is a necessary step to remove all of the evil judges and then have the proper judges. That's a necessary step to end the calamities from the Jewish people. And the Gemara's conclusion on all of this is, as the Gemara says, Amar Ula, Ein Yerushalayim nifteh ela b'tzedakah, that in the end Yerushalayim will only be redeemed with tzedakah, righteousness. Shenemar Tzion b'mishpat tipadeh v'shaveh b'tzedakah, which is the very next pasuk over here, which is the end of the haftorah of Chazon, that Tzion will be redeemed with justice, and those who return b'tzedakah with righteousness. So that is the formula for the end of this terrible pattern of the evil judges and the three punishments that come because of the all the corruption of taking money. The judges, the Kohanim, the Nevi'im, all taking money for what they're supposed to be doing without taking money. There is terrible calamity because of that. So when it's reversed, that has to stop. Yeah.
So, like in Ruth, when it says in the time of the judges, and they were talking about that perhaps it's each person judging everybody else. Here, they're talking about the real judges, Jewish judges.
Also talking about the real judges. That what you just said is a drush on that pasuk, but it's also talking about the real judges.
So nowadays, when we don't have only real judges over the Jewish people, does that not?
Yeah. So that's true. We don't have the same type of system because we're not independent. We're not autonomous. What I assume it means that we have to be at a point that would we be given autonomy, our judges would not be corrupt.
In Eretz Yisrael.
Right. But in Eretz Yisrael, it's not run al pi Torah. So the judges are not necessarily.
Thomas and Sanhedrin, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We're talking about, I mean. We're talking about Batei Din. We're talking about, you know, right.
So, because I was thinking nowadays you have a lot of Jewish people who happen to be judges.
Yeah.
Don't necessarily do it in a Jewish way at all.
Right.
So
right.
Is that what it's, you know
yeah,
what I mean?
No, I was
getting confused.
Yeah, I don't think it's something like that. I think it means that we have to be on a level that would we be given autonomy if Mashiach would come today, that we would be have the integrity that our judges would have integrity and would not be corrupt.
And also, if Jewish people are treating other Jews badly, isn't it also worse because then we're divided? Where if it's just an outside force, at least we're united.
Yeah, there is that. Yeah, for sure.
Wasn't that what is Zara terribly rampant at this time?
Yeah.
So how is it that they would have both?
Well, we've seen that throughout, that they're poseach hashne asivim, that they worship both. We've seen that.
They really believe, but this is not, they really, but they're saying, oh, nothing's going to happen, Hashem is with us. They think they need that vote as our also.
Yeah, they did both. It's something that's difficult for us to you know, but we contradict ourselves too.
We don't have the base of Mikdash either.
But I'm saying, but we also contradict ourselves, not in that way, because we don't have the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah, but we also act in contradictory ways.
Maybe your point now that we act in contradictory ways, maybe it's not as bad as, you know, like they really, like because it's hard to be consistent in everything. So when you're reading it, it sounds like it's terrible, like it's exactly what it's saying, that they steal it from the poor and, you know, and all these terrible things that are really, I would say exaggerated, sound terrible, terribly evil. So that doesn't sound in sync with, oh, but they could still believe in Hashem.
Yeah.
And they...
Well, because that's not a avodah zarah, what they're doing here. To worship an idol, I see a distinction for what is that.
But they were idol worshippers. Yeah, and
but why would they be idol worshippers? Why would they think for a minute that a stone could be God? So they're treating people so evil here and themselves. It's horrible, but... I see it as a distinction. Can you comment?
Yeah, no, that's true. What is being highlighted here is not Avodah Zarah, it's the other Averis that they did. But it is true they did worship Avodah Zarah.
Right.
But we found throughout that their behavior was contradictory, that they would worship both.
Yeah, but doesn't Hashem usually, like, when he destroys the Jewish people, it's usually because of what we do to each other. He can take us insulting him better than he can take us treating each other badly.
As a avodah zarah. I see as a distinction. One is you're not doing good to the poor, you're not harmony between Jewish people, and you like use the word glibly, avodah zarah. They could be very well worshiping God and not following the rules of Torah.
Yeah, that is true
to God,
too.
But they don't follow the Torah. But
they're still believing, like they, oh, but we're safe because Hashem is here. So that's the part I'm kind of
because they had the Beis HaMikdash, and they had kings, we had a country, you know, we
false security.
Yeah.
You can rationalize whatever you want.
That is true. That is true.
You're raised with, you know, that God is there. It doesn't.
But do they get credit for this? Because you said that. That was the beginning of what you said in the Gemara,
The Gemara seems to say that they're held accountable for this because they're doing all this evil and they're still saying, oh, Hashem's going to protect us, that they're punished for that. That they should have said, since we're behaving this way, Hashem is not going to protect us, and that would have brought them to Tshuva.
Right, but something in when you started reading that made me think, oh, because they were only getting three punishments and these three people were punished, and I thought maybe, oh, those are the punished, everyone else is not getting punished.
No. The country is being punished with these three things because of these three averes. Right. Now, there's a famous Gemara that also is based on these psukim. The famous Gemara, the reason why it's famous is because it's the very end of Maseches Makos, and therefore it's often quoted in a siyum. So Makos is one of the most frequent Masechtos finished ever, you know, that people finish. In fact, it probably is the most common Masecht that people make a siyum on.
Because
it's relatively short. No, I'm serious. It's relatively short. And also, I don't know if it's easier, but it's one of the Masechtos that is very commonly taught to younger, either middle school boys or young yeshiva boys. So it's commonly done in the early stages of learning, and therefore since it's short, it's one of the first attainable masechtas to finish. So it's very commonly done. But the end of you're not going to remember the end of a Gemara, even if you're there for the Siyum, unless it's a story. And this is a story. This is the famous story to Rabbi Akiva and the other Talmidei Chachamim, and they came and they cried and he laughed. Right. The famous Gemara. So let me read you the Gemara, which you're familiar with it. But the Gemara here is based on the Pesukim that we have in Micha. The Gemara says, the famous Gemara, that they came to Har HaBayis and they saw a fox coming out from where the Kodesh HaKadoshim used to be. So the Gemara says, Hischilu Hein Bochen, they started to cry, Rabbi Kiva Metzachik or Mesachik, and he started to laugh. They are Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Yehoshua. Those are the three who were with Rabbi Akiva. So they were crying and he was laughing. So the Gemara says the famous conversation. Amru lo, they said to him, Mipimna tam etzachik, why are you laughing? Amru lahem, he said back to them, Mipimna tam bochem, why are you crying? Amru lo, they said to him, Makom shakasuv bo, the place that it says about it, the hazar hakarev you must, that the stranger who comes close will die, that a non-kohen can't go here. Va'achshav shualim holchu bo, and now there's foxes going there. Velo nivka, you shouldn't cry, that you see how the holiest place in the world is reduced to a place where there are foxes. So Amar Lahan, so he said to them, Lekachani Mitzachik, that's why I'm laughing. Dichsiv, because the Pasuk says, now this Pasuk is in Yeshaya. The Pasuk says, V'yidoli Eidim Ne'amonim, I will bring as witnesses to me my trusted witnesses, Es Uriah HaKohen, that's Uriah the Kohen, Ves Zechariah ben Yevarchayahu, and Zechariah ben Yevarchayahu. These are going to be my trusted witnesses. So Rabbi Akiva says that pasuk is difficult to understand. V'chimayin in Uriah etzel Zechariah. What does Uriah have to do with Zechariah? They didn't live at the same time. Uriah b'mikdash rishon. Uriah was in the first Beis Hamikdash. Uzechariah b'mikdash sheni. Zechariah was in the second Beis Hamikdash. Ella. So how do we understand the pasuk? Tala hakasav nevuaso shel Zechariah b'nevuaso shel Uriah. The pasuk is telling us that the prophecy of Zechariah is dependent on the prophecy of Uriah, meaning the positive prophecy of Zechariah is dependent on the negative prophecy of Uriah. But Uriah, ksiv, regarding Uriah, it says, now we're going to have a problem here, the Gemara quotes the last pasuk we just read, Lachain biglalchem tzion sada se charesh, that because of you, tzion will be plowed over like a field, etc. And what does it say? Harabayis lebamos yar. Harabayis will be like a forest. Foxes roam in a forest. And now, bizachariah ksiv, that it says with Uriah. With Zechariah it says, od yeshu zekein muzekenos berchovos Yerushalayim, that there will be come a time when elderly men and women will sit in the streets of Yerushalayim in peace and in safety. And they won't be scared. So, but one has to happen before the other. The positive prophecy of the safety of Yerushalayim is not going to happen unless first there is the negative prophecy of Harabais being like a forest. Achlan Eskayim of Nevuaso Shel Uriah, before the Nevuah of Uriah came true, Hayisim Isyare Shel Tiskayim Nevuaso Shel Zechariah. I was afraid that the Nevuah of Zechariah also wouldn't come true. Now that we four are witnesses, we see the prophecy of Uriah coming true, that the foxes come out of the where the Kodesh HaKadoshim used to be, then it is known, it is well known, we can be certain that the Nevuah of Zechariah will come true. And with this Lashon, they said to him, Akiva Nichamtanu, Akiva Nichamtanu, Akiva, you have consoled us. Akiva, you have consoled us. They don't say Rabbi Akiva because they're his colleagues. So they say, Akiva, you have consoled us. Akiva, you have consoled us. So this pasuk, although it is a negative pasuk, has a silver lining because this is the pasuk that triggers the positive. That when it gets this bad, that there are even that Harabais lebamos yar, the Harabais will be as a forest, then the positive pasuk will come true.
Is Micha Uriah?
The problem is, this is not Uriah, this is Micha. Micha is not Uriah.
So who is Uriah?
So, what?
Who is Uriah?
Right, who is Uriah? So, we don't have a safer Uriah.
Right.
So this is a major problem with this Gemara, this beautiful Gemara that is quoted at the end of Makos, and people are at the Siyum and they kind of nod their heads. It's beautiful, it's beautiful, it's beautiful. And the Gemara talks about the Nevuah of Uriah. We are learning Micha, and we see that is not, in fact, a Pasuk about Uriah. It's a Pasuk about Micha. And nobody knows that when they listen to a Siyum. So this is a difficulty.
Where's a major the difficulty. That started in the beginning when it said, we're gonna have
that's a Pasuk in Yeshaya. That mentions Uriah and Zechariah.
Oh.
But it doesn't quote anything from Uriah. It doesn't say a Nevuah of Uriah.
But so, then Rabbi Akiva put the quote
of Micha and attributed it to Uriah.
And were they contemporaries?
They were contemporaries, yeah.
We heard anything else before Uriah besides this?
No. Well, nothing relevant to this.
Was Uriah a Kohen and a Navi?
He was a Kohen and a Navi, yeah. So, Tosfos explains based on a pasuk in Yirmiyahu. In Yirmiyahu, in Perek Chaf Vav, in chapter 26, I quoted to you this pasuk already because when we started Micha, I was showing you that Micha is quoted later in the Nevi'im. Micha lives in the time of Chizkiyahu, the king, Chizkiyahu, and Yirmiyahu is in the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash over 100 years later. But Yirmiyahu, in Sefer Yirmiyahu, there is a reference to Micha. So what does it say in Yirmiyahu? This is in Perek Chaf Vav in chapter 26. Here, Yirmiyahu, who regularly said prophecies that people didn't want to hear. He talked about the destruction. He said, if you don't do tshuva, this is what's going to happen. Nobody wanted to hear what Yirmiyahu had to say because it was negative. Nobody likes to hear negative prophecy. And Yirmiyahu he went through a lot of trouble because of it. He was thrown into a pit. He was struck because of it. I mean, people were aggressive towards him because of his prophecies.
They killed him too, didn't they?
They didn't actually kill him. No.
They didn't kill him?
No, not Yirmiyahu. No, no. Yeshaya was killed by Menashe, but not Yirmiyahu was not. So the pasuk tells us that the Kohanim and the Nevi'im wanted to kill Yirmiyahu because of his prophecies and because of what he was saying. They even had a logic to it that isn't a terrible logic. It was saying he's demoralizing the people. If we're going to fight against the enemy, if he's demoralizing everybody, no, we're never going to be able to fight. There is some truth to that. But at any rate, they wanted to kill Yirmiyahu.
Are we talking about Nevi'im who are true Nevi'im or
false Nevi'im? False Nevi'im. So the Pasuk says in Pasuk Tez Zayin, verse 16, Vayomru hasarim v'chol ha'am el ha'kohanim v'al Nevi'im. So the Sarim, the leaders and all of the nations said to the Kohanim and the Nevi'im, Ein lo ish hazem ish bat mavis, this man does not deserve to die. Ki v'shem Hashem Elokeinu diber eleinu, because he spoke to us in the name of Hashem, our God. Vayakumu anashim v'ziknei ha'aretz, and there were men who got up from the elders of the land, vayom, and they said, el kol kahal ha'am lemar, to the entire congregation saying, Micha ha'morashti, that's our Micha, Micha Morashti, Hayaniba bimei Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda. He said prophecy in the days of Chizkiyahu, the king of Yehuda. Vayomer el kolam Yehuda lemor, and he said it to all of the nation of Yehuda, saying, Ko amar Hashem Tzvakos, so says Hashem, Tzion sade se charesh, Tzion will be plowed over like a field, v'Yushalayim iim tiyeh, and Yushalayim will be desolate, and Harabais will be for a forest. They quoted this pasuk. This very pasuk is quoted later in Navi. Navi is quoting Navi. Yirmiyahu is quoting Micha. Meaning, Sefer Yirmiyahu is quoting Micha. Hehameis, hemisuhu, Chizkiyahu, melech Yehuda, v'chol Yehuda. Did Chizkiyahu, the king of Yehuda and Yehuda, did they kill Micha for his prophecy? He said this terrible prophecy. Did they kill him? Hello, Yareyes Hashem. But no, He feared Hashem. Chizkiyahu feared Hashem. Vayichalas pnei Hashem, and he davened to Hashem. Chizkiyahu did. Vayinachem Hashem al hara'ah asher diber aleim, and Hashem was consoled and changed his mind and didn't do the evil that he spoke to them. So there, because of Micha's prophecy, they didn't kill Micha. They reacted with tshuva, and Hashem did not destroy them. Vanachnu osim ra gedola, and we are doing terrible evil al nafsho senu on our souls. Then they say, v'gam ish haya misnabe b'shem Hashem. There also was a man who said prophecy in the name of Hashem. Uriyahu ben Shemayahu. His name was Uriyahu ben Shemayahu mikiryas hayarim, from Kiryas Hayarim. And he also said prophecy on this city and on this land, k'chol divrei Yirmiyahu, like all of the words of Yirmiyahu. I'm sorry, he was not a contemporary with Micha. He lived later on, as we'll see in a minute. Vayishma ha-melech Yehoyakim v'chol giborav v'chol asarim es devarav, and the king Yehoyakim, who was an evil king, and all of his his strong men and all of his leaders, they heard the words of Uriyahu. Vayivakesh ha-melech hamiso, and the king wanted to kill him. Vayishma Uriyahu, and Uriyahu heard. Vayiran, he was afraid. Vayivrach, and he ran away. Vayavo Mitzrayim, and he came to Mitzrayim. Vayishlach ha-melech Yehoyakim anashim Mitzrayim, so the king Yehoyakim sent men to Mitzrayim. Es el-Nasan ben Achbor va-anashim ito Mitzrayim. El-Nasan ben Achbor, and men who were with him to Mitzrayim. Vayutziu es Uriyahu mi-Mitzrayim, they took Uriyahu out of Mitzrayim. Vayiviyuhu el-Melech Yehoyakim, and they brought him to the king Yehoyakim. Vayakehu becharev, and they killed him by the sword. Vayashlech es nivlaso al kivrei b'nei ha'am, and they threw his corpse into the graves of the men, of the people. That's what Yehoyakim did, who was a Rasha. Ach yad Achikam ben Shafat ha'isa es Yirmiyahu. So then the Navi ends off here narrating that Achikam ben Shafan was with Yirmiyahu, levilti teis osov yana amlam iso, to prevent him from being given over to the nation to be killed. So this is a history of what happened, that they're saying, you want to kill Yirmiyahu? Let me give you two examples of what happened. Micha, he said prophecy that was just as bad as what Yirmiyahu is saying, and Chizkiyahu, who was a tzaddik, he didn't kill him. They did tshuva, and Hashem did not bring evil. Just the opposite. Hashem saved their lives. And then Uriyahu also said similar prophecy. Yehoyakim, who was a rasha, did kill him. And Yehoyakim was, this is after Yehoyakim was killed. And they've already had, many of the people already went into Golus because of the terrible king Yehoyakim. So now, you want to kill Yirmiyahu as well? Don't do it. That's what's being said here in Sefer Yirmiyahu. So Tosus says, we're not told the words of Uriah, but we are told that his nevuah was similar to the nevuah of Micha. We don't know what the words are because we're not told the words of Uriah. So when, but the pasuk in Yeshaya says that Uriah and Zechariah go together, and Rabbi Akiva says that means that when Uriah's prophecy, which we don't know what it is, comes true, then so will Zechariah's prophecy come true. So what's Uriah's prophecy? We have no record of Uriah's prophecy, but we do know that whatever his prophecy was, it was very similar to Micha's prophecy. That's why the Gemara quotes Micha's prophecy, because we know that Uriah's prophecy is something along the lines of Micha's prophecy.
Why didn't Rabbi Akiva quote Micha?
We don't have a pasuk that links Micha to Zechariah. The pasuk links Uriah to Zechariah. The question is, why didn't Yeshaya link Micha to Zechariah? That I can't answer. I don't know. He linked Uriah to Zechariah. So that I don't know the answer to that. But could be it's the merit of Uriah. Could be we have, because he was killed. Could be there's a merit of Uriah. I don't know. I don't know what the, you know, what it is. But so next time you hear a siyum, a Maseches Machlokes, it's really a beautiful story. And it really is a beautiful nechama that Rabbi Akiva is telling us. And when you see when you read these terrible psukim, you should know there is a silver lining in it. It's really a beautiful thing. Akiva nichamtano, Akiva nichamtano. It's really beautiful. But so just understand that the pasuk that's being quoted is a nevuah of Micha, which is very similar to the unknown nevuah of Uriah. That's why it's being quoted. So now, because we've learned the pasuk, so we have that background, which the person who's making the seal might not even know.
I don't understand, because it's very clearly saying that Micha said these pasukim, right?
Well, this pasuk that we just read, it right. Isn't Micha, yeah.
And, but also the Yirmiyahu says, and Micha said this, and they didn't kill him, right? And he did teshuvah.
Right.
So, when Micha said it, and they see it happening, so why can Rabbi Akiva say, we see this happening from Micha, and it happened, just like Micha said it's gonna happen?
Yeah, but that doesn't prove. He started with a pasuk in Yeshaya. In Yeshaya, it says that when Uriah's nevuah takes place, then so will Zechariah's. So you have to get back to Uriah. He didn't say Micha. He said Uriah.
Oh, okay.
So you have to string it all together.
Oh, it's complicated.
Okay.
Thank you.